You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, too, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a really busy show coming up for you today. Our friend and colleague and host of the wonderful Todd Albaugh Show from 2 to 4 across the network, joining us after the 9:30 news. Just a couple things we're going to talk about with Todd, including our president's made a couple really interesting speeches over the weekend.
Yeah.
One to the West Point graduates, and then had a Memorial Day message on social media over the weekend to all the haters and losers.
Oh, well, that's what you do on your day off. You make sure that all of your perceived enemies know their business.
That's coming up after the 9:30 news when Todd joins us. Next hour, author Kathy Giorgio is going to be joining us.
Yes.
She was on the Waukesha School's Stars Wall.
North High School.
Mm-hmm. Waukesha North High School. Yep. She was on their Wall of Fame because she's a very accomplished author. They don't offer any of her books.
Nope.
So she's asked that this star be removed, that she be removed from that. So we're going to talk to Kathy Giorgio. I am curious to find out what is so offensive about her books that they felt that they had to pull them and yet put her on this wall.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting juxtaposition there. Beth Heinorn.
Yes.
From the Racine Zoo is going to be joining us in studio after 10:30. They have a new addition.
I know.
They have a new baby zebra. Yay. I know. Very excited about that.
Baby zebra.
And we're going to talk about all things Racine Zoo. So if you're in the area and you've never checked it out, it's small. But it's really a great little...
It packs a punch.
It does. It's a great little zoo. So, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the now you see it, now you don't, boom edition. There's a video element that's, you'll go, wow.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Did want to start off though with new SNAP changes.
Yes.
Wisconsin taxpayers, lucky us, could be responsible for covering hundreds of millions of dollars in food assistance costs under the sweeping tax bill passed this week by the U.S. House that pushes a portion of federal food aid programs, the costs, onto the states. So under this, Wisconsin will have to come up with anywhere between $175 million to $300 million a year to cover the roughly 700,000 Wisconsinites who rely on benefits from SNAP, which is another way to call food stamps.
Yeah, which, based on that information, and how much Madison, the State House, I should say, State House loves funding programs.
Oh, yes.
We can say with cool confidence here at Matinair and Air, not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to pass.
They won't even release money to clean water up. You think they're going to feed people?
And money that's already been approved.
Yep.
But they're still sitting on it.
Sitting there.
They've been sitting on that money for, 2 years now?
2 years now, yep.
Yeah.
And that's the tip of the iceberg of money that's sitting in Wisconsin.
That has been approved.
Well, just that. Like, there's that. There's, you know, the cleaning up the water, education, hospitals in the rural areas. $4 billion surplus just also sitting there. You know, a $300 million price tag coming to the State House under Robin Voss's leadership, not going to happen.
No.
Period.
Yeah, no, we're not going to. I feel fairly confident in saying we will not be picking up that cost.
Yeah.
The other thing that they want to do with these SNAP changes is restrict what people who get SNAP can buy.
Yeah.
No more sugary sodas and candies and things like that. They want to make a bunch of restrictions on what they can buy. If you think back just a couple of years ago.
I wish we had that from when he was going back in the way back machine.
Little time machine.
Yeah.
When Michelle Obama.
Heard of her?
Then the first lady. Made an attempt to encourage healthier eating.
Yes.
And healthier kids. So she started this Let's Move initiative.
Yes.
First ladies normally focus on something.
Mm-hmm.
When their husband is in office, this is their standard bearer for what they would like to like to do. It might be literacy. It could be something else.
Yep.
But for Michelle Obama, it was Let's Move. And she was crucified by the right for telling people what to feed their kids.
Yeah. And in reality, what she had done was planted some, made some urban gardening plots, planted some vegetable gardens, some fruit, you know, not only encouraging healthier options in your eating, but also showing people, hey, do you live in a city? You can still grow your own food. And it's healthy. It's not free, but it's a lot cheaper. And just opening people up to the options of what has been there for decades and decades. And people acted like she was coming and saying, hey, do you like the Constitution? Well, we're burning it today.
Oh, yes.
And
oh.
we're gonna use it as kindling on the fire for it was just the most insane reaction to the point where they had to totally take out the vegetable aspect of Let's Move and focus mainly on just
on
some
exercise.
Get them out. It went from Let's Move, I think, to Let's Play 60, which was encouraging kids to get outside and play 60 minutes a day, which is great. I would say adults need that too. But it was, I mean, you know the term hair on fire, Jane?
Yes, I do.
This was all the hairs on fire.
Pretty
Every
much.
Hair was on fire.
Let's go back to Sarah Palin.
Do we have?
John McCain's running mate.
Oh, yes.
Sarah Palin, when she was asked what she thought of Michelle Obama and the whole Let's Move thing, of course, she had a cookie handout at a school fundraiser. This was fighting back against the communist Michelle Obama encouraging more vegetables. So she was giving out freedom cookies. I don't know that she called them that, but she probably should have. Here's a quote from Sarah Palin talking about Michelle Obama's efforts to encourage kids to eat healthier. Quote, take her anti-obesity thing that she's on. She is on this kick, right? What she is telling us is she cannot trust parents to make decisions for their own children, for their own families, and what we should eat. Instead of a government thinking they need to take over and make decisions for us, according to some politician or politician's wife, just leave us alone, get off our back, and allow us as individuals to exercise our own God-given rights to make our own decisions and get our country back on the right track and eat cookies. Okay, I added that. Yeah.
You know how we like say nowadays, man, things are so bad. They weren't much better back then when you are railing against a woman just saying, hey, why not put a vegetable on the plate too? There's no law. There's no ordinance. There's no executive order.
There was no mandate.
There was nothing to that. It was just, hey, folks, here are some options. Hope you like it. Enjoy.
And, oh, no.
Oh, God.
She was a communist. The right called Michelle Obama a communist. Trying to force our children to eat broccoli.
But that's also the MO. That's the game plan. It is every time someone wants to introduce something, call it vegetables or, you know, recognizing that trans people are people or kids can read the books they want to read. Here comes the right. And, you know, it sounds very, you know,
I'm generalizing,
but it really is the truth. Anytime someone wants to come in and say, hey, here's this other option. Here's something that's nice. Here's something that you can enjoy. Anytime it threatens the way of life of those individuals, they want to push it over the edge with, I mean, it is the governmental version of fire and brimstone. You know, this notion of how dare they come into our lives? Well, they're not forcing their way in. How dare they tell us what to read? No one's forcing you what to read. I don't want to talk to these people. Don't talk to them, but they exist. And also, cut up a cucumber and eat a salad. Like, try it. You know, it's just this notion of anything that it doesn't even threaten their freedom. If it's a perceived threat, they use it to get in the papers, to get on television, to get on podcasts, and gin up support on that because they don't have anything to offer in return. They don't have policy that wants to help people. They want to slash programs. They want to keep money. And instead they're saying, Michelle Obama's a communist.
Well, I guess what gets me is When Michelle Obama wanted to do things to encourage healthier eating among our kids, that was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That was a threat to our freedom. It was a threat to us as Americans. But if Republicans do it, well, then it's fine.
Yep.
They love our kids. They're looking out for the health of our children, Greg Bach.
Which, I mentioned this before we went on the air, but like, is there such thing as double standard fatigue? This thing of always having to say, but wait a minute. But when they were doing it years ago, you said it was terrible. Now you're doing it and you're saying it's great. And it's even, and even more so, it's God-given freedom to do it. Well, I want to see how they're going to make businesses, because, you know, the Republicans love getting in the way of businesses, how they're going to make them change ingredients, whether it's like, you know,
removing dyes,
artificial ingredients, those, because Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s plan of making America healthy flies in the face of everything that is business now of like, we do what we want. We put what we want in the food. You can't tell us what to do. We've paid for your jobs. So you're going to vote to make sure we can put chemicals in food. So here comes Robert F. Kennedy Jr. saying, let's get rid of that stuff. I think about this more than I should. Like how he can exist doing what he's doing. And the Republicans are like, yeah, let's do this.
Well, again, we're assuming that any changes will be made.
Yeah.
I mean, lip service is a great thing.
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah. Bob Jr. said this, so we will be making changes. Is there going to be anybody to follow up on whether or not they institute these changes? Pretty much no.
No.
Because we're firing everybody at the FDA.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... I always want to say, like, I'm at the point now where I want to say, like, but what about the thing? Because then I'm like, no, don't do that, because I don't like it when other people... make that phrase, what about isms, because no one cares too. No one cares that there's a double standard. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the halls of power. Like these people want to get rid of certain foods or dyes or chemicals. As you said, why was it basically a crime when Michelle Obama did it? And now it's like, well, this is a great idea. It's like no one, who thought of this idea? This is a great idea.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Oh my gosh.
Yep. I think we should start giving cookie handouts.
I'll take cookie handouts. I'll take them. I don't care what's...
We could just go on the road, Greg, and hand out cookies.
Yeah.
The Jane and Greg cookie tour.
The freedom cookie tour.
The freedom cookie tour. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, there might be a chance that Jane, Greg, and maybe one of our friends is coming on the road this summer.
We're working on it.
There might be an extra component to this, which could include
cookies.
Civic Media cookies.
Ooh.
Oh, my cookie goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my cookie goodness.
You're onto something.
I have the best ideas.
He has ideas.
I have the best ideas in the world.
Freedom cookies. Tony says freedom scones. We could call them freedom cookies.
Freedom scones of peace.
Freedom scones of peace.
Oh, that's a throwback.
We have a break coming up. When we return, he only pardons all the best people.
Yes.
All the best people. All the details are on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, musical edition. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got some baseball action coming up a little bit later on. Our baseball broadcast starts tonight at 6:05. The crew hosting the Boston Red Sox. You can listen to the game. You do have to listen to terrestrial radio to hear the game. Starting tonight at 6:05 on WRCE. In Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Red Sox tonight. The game starts at 6:05. You can catch it on those Civic Media radio stations. We have Todd Alba going to be joining us in just a little bit after the 9:30 news, so stay tuned for that. But I did want to spend a little time. Let's get to know some of the very fine people that our president decides to pardon.
Mm-hmm. Because
he's done quite a few.
Oh, yeah. And they just keep on a-coming.
And they're all such fine people.
Yeah.
They're all really, really fine people. Scott Jenkins served as the sheriff of Culpeper County in Northern Virginia for a decade, but he lost his reelection in 2023 on charges that he was eventually convicted for on bribery. Convicted. So again, jury of his peers. Convicted him of bribery.
Yeah.
He was just about to report to prison to serve his 10-year sentence when Donald Trump pardoned him. So what did the old sheriff do? He decided to take more than $70,000 in bribes, either cash or campaign contributions, for more than a half a dozen people and appointed them auxiliary deputy sheriffs, making them, they got badges.
They're deputized.
They're deputized.
Yeah.
They got badges. They got credentials. None of them were trained or vetted or working for the sheriff's office. Let me pay you a couple $1,000, sheriff. Deputize me. They also accused Mr. Jenkins of pressuring local officials in the case of one man who had a felony on his record to expunge that so he could get his guns back. That man and two undercover FBI agents testified against then-Sheriff Jenkins.
Mm.
Jenkins took the stand in his own defense.
Of course.
And said the money he got and the badges he gave had absolutely no connection.
What?
Yeah, they just gave me money, and somehow I ended up deputizing them. But there's no there.
See, here's the thing, Jane, is they gave me a lot of money, and I thought I was giving them the badges that I give kids, the plastic ones.
Oh, no.
I messed up, and I accidentally gave them real ones. That's on me. That's my whoopsie doodles.
Yeah.
Jane, that makes sense. It's a crime. He went through due process.
Mm-hmm.
He was convicted.
Found guilty by a jury of his peers.
And just before that prison door was going to open up, here comes Donald Trump swooping in and say, you did nothing wrong. You're fine.
It was the Biden's weaponized Department of Justice.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That went after him.
Yeah. And I just want to put it out there. I want to see when the next election's happening, and I will bet dollars to donuts he will run again.
And probably make a nice campaign contribution to somebody.
Absolutely.
Among the very fine people that our president has pardoned, including former Sheriff Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget about Michelle Fiore.
She's one of my favorites. She's one of my faves.
A former Las Vegas City Councilwoman and state lawmaker who was found guilty on 6 counts of federal wire fraud and 1 count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. She was accepting donations. She raised more than 70 grand to erect a statue of a Las Vegas police officer who died in the line of duty. 70 grand she took in for this statue.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she spent it on rent.
Yep.
Her daughter's wedding.
As you do.
And some plastic surgery.
Because you got to look good at the wedding.
Well, right. And Donald Trump pardoned her, too.
Pardoned her. Absolutely. This is why, Jane, this is one of my favorite ones, because it is look, you want to erect a statue to commemorate
a
fallen soldier, someone who's given their life to protect certain things, all arguments aside, great, go for it. The moment you take that money away, that phrase back the blue, the fact that people who don't, that's part of their milieu, a part of their, like, I'm a Republican because I back the blue and law and order. The moment that happens, the fact that they are not standing up going, she's terrible, and what are you doing, President Trump?
Yep.
Once again, just the hypocrisy is boiling over, Jane. You can smell it.
Well, and let's not forget about Russ Albrecht.
Remind me of his greatness.
He had a website called the Silk Road. It was a dark web.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was essentially a clearinghouse for drug dealers. Yeah. Essentially.
Yes. When you start on the dark web, it's not good. What he did made the dark web look even worse, which is a tall task.
He was accused and convicted of selling more than $200 million worth of drugs. Donald Trump pardoned him, too. Just like the January 6th attackers.
The blanket.
They all got pardons, too.
Oh, Look, I knew this was going to happen.
And you know what hasn't happened yet?
Mm.
The plaque honoring the officers, the Capitol Police officers who protected our lawmakers on January 6th. That plaque is still sitting in a drawer in Speaker Mike Johnson's office because they don't want to put it up.
And we have a commenter talking about Leonard Peltier, which I knew was going to happen. And it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing at all.
Nice try, though.
Get the facts straight. Do your research.
We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Because of all the... Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we try and lighten things up a little bit.
Ooh.
A little cleansing for the ears away from politics. So Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. They'd have a new addition at the zoo. We're very excited. They have a baby zebra. So we're going to talk about that and many other things. And then we will wrap up the show in the very last segment, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Now You See It, Now You Don't boom edition. There's a video element to that that you want to stick around for as well. Right now, though, he joins us every other week, our friend and colleague and host of the Todd Alba Show, weekdays across the network from 2 to 4 p.m. Todd Alba is here. Good morning, my friend. How was your weekend?
Good morning, Jane, Greg, Calvin. It was good. It was good. Thanks. Lots of traveling. Was up at Eau Claire this weekend. Did the show from our colleague, Pat Kreitlow's, the Kreitlow Manor, the Kreitlow Estate, the Kreitlow Compound.
I saw.
On Friday.
I was watching. Yes. What a beautiful place.
Oh, I said, if I lived up there, I'd be doing the show on the lake every day.
Yeah.
And what a gracious host, and makes a very mean brandy old fashioned at the end of the show.
Ooh, nice. Well, that's a nice reward at the end of the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that was Friday, and talked a little bit about local James Kelly, our news director from up there, joined us. That was fun. My youngest niece, Isabel, graduated from Eau Claire Memorial High School. So that was all the family was in. That was a lot of fun over the weekend as well. And then back in Richland Center on Monday to see mom or take her home, actually, was, I will admit, I wanted to go to the Memorial Day parade in Richland Center, but I was a little tired from all the
you
driving.
Put on a lot of miles, man.
It was a lot of miles. But then Sunday night, and I hope people were able to see this. You could probably watch the replay somewhere. But PBS every year does the National Memorial Day service, and it's absolutely one of the best broadcasts of the year for me. And they replay it twice, and they do it live. They replay it on the night before Memorial Day. And it's these amazing stories of people in the military, some of whom have died in service, some who are still living. And they get professional actors to come and tell their story in the veterans' words, but they're telling it, you know, in
as the character.
There. As the character. And then the ones that are living are sitting in the front row, and the actor goes down and shakes the hand or hugs the person whose story they've just told.
Oh my
and
God.
It's remarkable. It's amazing. I mean, what difficult stories to tell in some cases, but they do it so well. And there's the military orchestra is giving the background music. They always play all of the service academy or the branch songs as well. There's all sorts of veterans in the crowd. And they've been able to maintain a nonpartisan bent to the whole thing over all these years, which that in and of itself is remarkable. So that was the way that I chose to honor our folks who died in battle over the weekend.
Very nice. Very nice. Did you do anything?
Let's see. You know how it's like no mo may? I accidentally do it every year because I just get way lazy. Saturday I mowed my lawn, and that was an endeavor, but it looks really nice now.
Good.
And then Sunday I had to do some stuff, but Monday was my day. Changed the oil in my car, which usually is a 20-minute endeavor, but because it's a new car, there's new stuff under there.
Oh,
so
sure.
That took an hour. But for the past years, I've talked about this on the show.
You have.
There is a playset that was in my backyard when we bought the house, and I was like, oh, cool, the nieces and the nephews can come over and they can swing. And then I walked closer and touched it. I'm like, no child should be anywhere near this death trap. So I'd been saying for years, I got to go back there and just take it down. Take it down.
Get a saw.
And for years I was saying that. Well, this was the time. I grabbed my Milwaukee Sawzall and my Milwaukee circular saw. That's not a plug, but I'll take an endorsement. And I just destroyed it, took it down to the rivets, and it's most of it's gone. And I was so excited, celebrated by cooking meat on the grill.
Saws and grilling. What could be better than this?
I have never felt more butch in my life.
manly men.
Doing mags, yes. Did you draw anything over the weekend? Bring out the saws or anything like that?
I did not. I kept it pretty low key, as I tend to do. I just, you know, my comic board game yesterday. So yeah, but low key.
Calvin, are your board game choices of your family, are they a like or a saw something? Classic, or do you get deeper into like, all right, here's the game, and you have to explain the rules, and what's your choice?
What's the go-to games? Yeah.
I would say they're modern classic games. So okay. We play Ticket to Ride is the big one, but we were just the first time.
Oh,
yesterday.
Wow, that's an involvement. Wow, okay.
You can play it in less than an hour.
Well, have to try.
If you played it with me, it'd be 3 hours or more, no, guaranteed, because...
Well, our president had some...
Jane, what did you
do? Oh, yeah.
I worked a lot in the garden. I did a lot of weeding in the garden. I'm at the phase where, again, it's the beginning of the year where I'm very excited about all my flowers, and I go around and I check them religiously, and I deadhead things, and I sing to them little songs. And then in about 2 months, I will want them all to die. It's like, get your own water. Pull it out of the air.
Get
Come
a job,
on.
Plants.
Seriously, step it up.
Two things. That was the one thing I wish I would have done. Weeding was on the calendar to do. But by the time I got done with the play set, I am so out of shape that I had to sit on the ground and just like take in life and be like, oh, dear God, what am I doing? But what does deadheading mean?
You have to cut the dead. You pinch off the dead flowers.
Oh.
So that they will put the energy into the new growing, to the new flowers.
Really?
Yes.
I'm getting more and more interested in this
thing.
Stuff. Oh, my gosh.
And then the other thing that we did yesterday, which I really enjoyed, was we have a relatively new neighbor for about an hour, and we just sat on the patio and chatted. And right. It's one of those things, I think, in Wisconsin, at least it is in our neighborhood, you don't see anyone for 7 months.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you might see him get in the car and that's about it. But during the winter and during the fall, you just don't see anybody. So it was lovely to have Amanda and Neil come over and just find out, you know, hi, who are you? And all those things. And I don't know if I'm the only person who does this, but when they first moved in, I had to give them nicknames so I would remember what their names were. Yes. So I always referred to her as Amanda Bynes, which is not her name, and Neil Patrick Harris. So, but it's Amanda and Neil, but I only remembered them because I thought it's Amanda Bynes and Neil Patrick Harris.
I am glad I'm not the only person who does that.
It worked because I remembered them, but otherwise I'm terrible with names. I am really, really terrible.
Yeah, I get that. I always want to remember I want to know my neighbors, and I don't want to be best friends with them because I got things to do, but I at least want to be able to wave and have a little conversation. Hey, how's it going? What's going on with you? That kind of thing. All right, have a good day. I'll talk to you later, and that's it.
Well, and then I think you look out for each other.
Yeah.
You look out for each other. If you know each other a little bit more, and it's like, mm-hmm. that car shouldn't be there, and my husband, again, is Gladys Kravitz. That's a whole nother discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, our president also had a busy weekend. And he spoke at West Point over the weekend.
Yeah.
To the, 1,200 graduates. It was an interesting speech. I guess it's a good time to stop publishing transcripts of President Trump's speeches, because that's what they started to do last week. Let's not just print them anymore. He talked about trophy wives. He talked about the fact that no one enlisted under Joe Biden because Trump has brought the military back. Of course, all of the people that he was addressing who were graduating enlisted under President Biden. There's just that little disconnect there. It was Looney Tunes. And then, breaking with tradition, They normally, the president who gives this address at West Point typically stays and shakes the hand of every single graduate. Donald Trump didn't do that. He left after his speech. He left. I think this is he is the first president to do that. He, of course, told them that he had to go deal with Russia and China. And then there were photos that showed up later where he was golfing. So I'm sure he was all about world affairs while he was on the fairway. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. I'm really glad you're talking about this, actually, because I plan on talking about it on our show this afternoon, too. And I think one of the most disturbing things to me is how many network, you know, mainstream media, I use the air quotes, are not talking about this. People know I'm a big fan of CBS just because I grew up on CBS and my first station I worked at was a CBS affiliate. So I'm a fan. I watch CBS this morning, almost every morning. And ever since this, and I know you guys have talked about it as well, this conflict between the owner of Paramount, which owns CBS News, Jerry Redstone,
yes,
and the Trump administration, because they're trying to merge with another company and is up to FCC approval, which Trump's appointees control. And Scott Pelley has spoken out about this, about how it's influenced 60 Minutes at CBS.
They've yes.
had people resign because of that. Wendy McMahon, the CBS News president, resigned last week. And this morning, when I watched CBS, I'm giving you the point, Jane, they never mentioned in 2 hours what you just talked about. Not once. And I mean, for those watching the stream, it's a little wrinkly. I'm sorry, I didn't have time to iron, and it's discolored because this shirt, this polo is almost 30 years old. But it says West Point right here on the breast or lapel of the polo shirt, embroidered. Because when I worked for a member of Congress back in the 90s, I had the distinct honor of helping to do some recruitment through West Point and the military academy appointments. I've been to West Point. I've met the people there, the men and women who put on the uniform, the cadets who are dedicating their lives to leadership. And I would just add, and this whole line, you guys, of, I don't want to say, I guess I'll just say it. There's a whole line from both left-leaning media and Democrats or progressives, whatever. Oh, Trump has, look at the dementia. Look at the dementia. He's saying all these crazy, he's talking about trophy wives at West Point graduation. He has dementia. Look, I get it. It can be funny from a comedy standpoint. My dad has dementia. I'm going through this right now. And I will tell you, I'm not a doctor. I don't feel I can diagnose him without it any more than anybody
right.
that's not a doctor can diagnose him with it. I don't see dementia. And it's almost worse because he knows what he's doing and it's intentional. And the fact that it's intentional, and I think he has other mental health issues in terms of narcissism and all those sorts of things. I don't believe he has dementia. He doesn't sit down with world leaders and say, did I show you the Lincoln Room? And then 5 minutes later, did I show you the Lincoln Room? That's dementia. What Trump's doing is, in my opinion, is not dementia. It's just narcissistic. And I would simply ask all of your listeners, Jane and Greg, if you served, if you put on the uniform, what Donald Trump said this weekend, and hopefully we can talk about it on the other side, not just at West Point, but other places this Memorial Day weekend, does it line up with what you know to be true about your service and about what this country is about?
We're going to continue talking with our friend and colleague Todd Alba on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour at this time, we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Now You See It, Now You Don't Boom edition There's a great video element involved, so stick around for that. Also, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. He joins us every other Tuesday, gracious enough to carve out some time for us, our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the wonderful Todd Alba Show, 2 to 4. Weekdays across the Civic Media Radio Network. Before we went to the break, Todd, we were talking about President Trump addressing West Point graduates over the weekend. Also, of course, jumping on Twitter, addressing all the haters and losers and scum, apparently, which is, you know, that's just such a nice, warm, fuzzy way to address the country. And something that really jumped out at me in among so many things when he was addressing the West Point graduates. This is a quote. The military's job is to dominate any foe and annihilate any threat to America and spread democracy to everybody around the world at the point of a gun.
Yeah, enormously disturbing. And again, I did not serve, but I had the distinct honor of working with active duty military folks as well as veterans throughout my time working for United States Congressman Scott Klug. And I feel very confident in saying that if you ask any legitimate person wearing the uniform of the United States of America, that the purpose of the military is to preserve and protect and defend the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and protect the Constitution of the United States. They don't see themselves as going out and forcing American democracy on anyone, certainly not at gunpoint. And it's, again, forget about the politics for a second, in my opinion. It is offensive to every person who spent time standing at a grave of a loved one, whether it's in Arlington National Cemetery or Amory, Wisconsin, or Richland Center or Milwaukee, who went and took flowers or stood at that headstone and cried yesterday. That is who it is offensive to. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's not time. Obviously, it's not my show. But you're right, Jane. This is what Trump, the first line of Trump's Memorial Day tweet. Happy Memorial Day to all. We all know it's really not kosher, especially from the President of the United States, to wish anyone a happy Memorial Day.
Right.
Then he says, including the scum that spent the last 4 years trying to destroy our country through warped radical left minds. I won't go on. This is what former President Barack Obama tweeted out yesterday. Quote, on Memorial Day, we remember the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform and their families have made to preserve our freedom. May we always serve to honor them and strengthen our resolve that they've shown for our country. Unquote. Kamala Harris had a similar tweet. And then right before he gave a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, Trump tweeted out, I will be making a Memorial Day speech today at Arlington National Cemetery, 11 a.m. Enjoy!
Enjoy! Point. I saw that too.
And at that speech, mere feet away from the tomb of the unknown soldier, he had political attacks against Joe Biden, political attacks against the Democratic Party in a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. I ask our folks, our friends listening who served, does that line up with your values as an American hero? Because you put on the uniform, Donald Trump did not.
I go back to, imagine any Democrat behaving in the same way, any Democrat, former Democratic president behaving in the same way, getting up at Arlington or in front of West Point graduates and using that opportunity to air your personal gripes and how you feel you have been so badly mistreated. The exploding heads would never stop.
I think that just take away the speech, take away the location, take away all that stuff. Just imagine a tweet that said something, not even what Donald Trump tweeted, but like say Barack Obama's tweet, and then he put on there Happy Memorial Day instead of observing and remembering. He said Happy Memorial Day. People would have lost their minds as a direct respect to all of those soldiers who have given their life to ensure our freedoms. That's how low the bar is. Like he can do whatever he wants.
Yes.
But the moment that the other side slightly mistakenly or just for whatever reason, it is all out warfare to call them a communist, a hypocrite, a liar, anti-American, or whatever they want to, once again, as I said before, direct the attention somewhere else while they are slashing Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, and doing all these things. that he can do. My father served in the Air Force. My uncle was in the Army, served in Vietnam. My great uncle was in World War II. Those are moments that deserve solemn respect. And he not only doesn't give it, but the people who don't like what we say have no problem and never speak out against it.
Well, and we brought this up last week, Todd, too, and maybe this is the only, I find this, maybe I'm the only one who finds this concerning, the fact that the White House has stopped publishing transcripts of his speeches, and they are curating now which videos they show on the official White House page. That should concern everyone. It really should.
Should absolutely concern everyone. And again, very, very concerning to me. I'm going to talk a little bit about it on our show today. Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes CBS gave a graduation speech, I believe, at Wake Forest this weekend. Never mentioned Trump, but the audio on that is stunning because he calls out starkly what you just said, Jane, is there is an attack on American journalism. There's attack on American democracy, and people need to speak out. So
join Todd Aubah this afternoon across the network from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you, my friend. We will see you in a couple weeks, and we're working on getting out on the road. So we'll see how we'll see how that goes. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in Vienna on the Civic Media app. On the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.